Hello, my name is Gary Vandermeer, and I'm the rector of St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church in Ottawa. This is my sermon for Pride Sunday, August 28th, 2022. This recording is made after the event, especially for you who are listening after the event. It takes into account that I used a flip chart as a visual aid, and I've adapted my words to help you to see the flip chart in your mind's eye. I've also included bonus material at the end of the sermon to encourage you to listen again and to equip you to become an even more passionate supporter of our vision for inclusive community at St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church in Ottawa. As we begin, I invite you to see this flip chart. The first page is blank but somewhat transparent. You can see through the page to the title on the next page, Let's Talk Trans. The full title of my sermon is Let's Talk Trans, Supporting Trans Lives in Our Families, Among Our Friends, in Our Community, Supporting Your Life. May I speak to you in the name of God, our Creator, who loves us with an infinite love. Amen. I know that you can see through this blank page on the easel, and I want to make a blessing of necessity by saying that we should be transparent about who we are at St. John's. And so I'm going to flip the page to the title which you now see, Let's Talk Trans. And I do so knowing that transgender is a new subject for many of you and misunderstood by many others. So I think I actually need to go back a step in the conversation. And so I'm going to flip the page again. And on this page, you see two words. First, there's the word pride, spelled in all small letters. And underneath is the word pride, spelled in all capital letters. I'm going to make the case that these are not the same word. Pride, as spelled in all small letters, comes up in our reading, our first reading from Sirach, the Wisdom of Sirach, as follows. The beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord. The heart has withdrawn from its maker. For the beginning of pride is sin, and the one who clings to it pours out abominations. And so pride in Scripture is not a good thing. And in fact, throughout the wisdom literature, pride is portrayed in this way. Through 2,000 years of Christian theology, pride has become known as one of the seven deadly sins. And those sins are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. And they are called the seven deadly sins because they give rise to actions that cause further harm. Harm to ourselves, harm to our fellow humans, harm to the earth and its creatures. These two words, pride and pride, are what I'm going to call false friends. That's a term used by translators when a word in English does not mean the same thing as we assume it would mean when we see it in another language. And so let me give you an example of that. I'm going to use the word attend. I am attending the Pride service at St. John the Evangelist today. That's the word in English. And now to switch to our other prominent language in the nation's capital, French. J'attends toujours d'être pleinement inclus dans mon église. And in this phrase, it is, I am still waiting to be fully included in my church. So attending to participate and attending to wait. Like two different languages, these words. And you can see that when you look it up in the dictionary as well. There are actually five definitions, but once we dispense with the one that meets a group of lions, we are left with the two prominent ones here on the paper. The first one, pride spelled in all small letters, having an excessively high opinion of oneself and one's importance. And the second one, to go with our day today, confidence and self-respect expressed by a group, especially a group that has been socially marginalized. While I'm at it with definitions, I'm going to turn the page because I think there are more definitions that are appropriate for us and should be better known. And on this page, you'll see three acronyms. The first is 2SLGBTQQIA+. And then underneath it, an even longer acronym, LGBTQQIP2SAA. And finally, on the third line, LGBBT+. I'm going to situate myself among these letters, and I also intend to speak respectfully of every letter that I am not, because I do not walk in those shoes, and it's important that we include and respect those who do. First of all, note the variation in the letters. The one that begins 2S is especially the one we are now using in Canada. 2S stands for two-spirited, and after so many years of making the Indigenous people invisible, it's important that we give that phrase prominence in our acronym, and so it comes first. But as you read through, what is your reaction as you see all these letters? I think for many people, it's actually to shut down. It's too many letters to take in, and our brains want to simplify. And in fact, the media have cooperated. And so in recent news, the Anglican Church was in recent news for a conference of bishops held at Lambeth in England. And that conference came up with an anti-LGBTQ statement, which was rebuffed as part of the process of the conference. And in the news, the acronym that was used was LGBT+. So the journalists have given in to this need of people to see something that is simpler. So I identify with the letter G for gay, and I'm going to put a sticky right beside that letter. And to help you to figure out where you identify yourself, I'm going to put another sticky here on the easel, out just in a general space, and you can think through where you would like to place it. So, following up on 2S, we have LG. And I actually think that functionally, it gets reduced to LG by everyone because we live in this binary world where it's easy to figure out if someone is gay or lesbian that, okay, they're not attracted to the opposite sex, they're attracted to the same sex. And we our brains shut down there. And that means that even when we get to the letter B for bisexual, our brains resist it because, as some would have it, does that mean that a person is attracted to both sexes and needs both sexes in their lives? And this raises another thorny issue of monogamy. And so our minds, for many people, don't want to go there. I think binary is a big problem. We already know that word in our own church identity. Binary means either or. And so in our church identity as St. John's, are we a city church or are we a neighborhood church? As if you can't be more than one of these things. Are we the music church? Are we the social justice church? And even in the past, St. John's was considered to be the gay church. That was at kind of an earlier decade. And yet there were non-gay people. There were heterosexual people in the congregation. And yet St. John's was familiarly known as the gay church. I'm going to go through the rest of the letters and then come back to the T. So it's 2SLGBT, which is transgendered. I'll come back to that. And then Q for questioning, Q for queer. These are more fluid terms for people who are in process or don't want to be limited by a particular label. I is intersex, and this is for people who are actually born with a combination of sexual physical attributes. And for many of these, surgery was once what was the expected and done thing. And so they have their own letter. Following that is another A for asexual. And you may be wondering, what do we need asexual in here for? We thought this was about sex. And so they have their own letter too. And then finally, there's a plus. And that is for all those others who do not find themselves in the letters already mentioned, because this is about visibility and being included. There may come a day when it's all reduced to one letter that is the umbrella and everyone's happy with that. But at this point, it's about being erased and being seen. And so that plus is for everyone else. So if you think of yourself as some other letter than these ones, that's for you. If you're heterosexual, perhaps you want to keep the sticky at somewhere else on the page, or you want to think of that plus sign as covering it. Although the acronym is actually intended for those who have been socially marginalized, and so maybe your sticky should be just somewhere else on the page. Let me now come back to trans. And since I am not transgendered, I want to begin by being respectful. I had hoped to have someone who is transgender to speak for themselves, and I hope that opportunity will come where we have an opportunity for informal conversation. I'm really grateful to Linda Truglia of Bruce House, who has shared with me the words of a transgender person who remains nameless, but who has given us permission to understand where they are coming from. And so I'm going to read their thoughts now. It's called A Few Trans Thoughts. First and foremost, acceptance without question. When someone shares with you that they are trans, thank them for telling you, for sharing with you, for trusting you with such a hugely personal thing about themselves. Tell them how brave they are, for it took a lot of courage for them to tell you, and it will take more courage for them to live their life in this new way. And this choice to live their life as they truly are may also be a life-saving decision for them. To thine own self be true is the quote, though it is rarely an easy road to take. They are sharing their true self with you. Accept them. Tell them you accept them. You can gently ask if they would prefer you use a different pronoun for them now. If they share, they may also like to be called by a different name. This may be a change that takes time, while others have always known what they want and wish their name to be. Respect their choice and use their new name. Ask how you can be supportive to them. This is not about you. It is about them. They are trusting you with this. Show them the respect of keeping it about them. If you both choose to have another conversation about it down the road, that's different. In this moment, it is about them. Things not to ask. When did you decide this? What made you this way? How long have you known? Questions such as these are A, ridiculous, B, demeaning, C, none of your business, and D, possibly hurtful. Other things not to ask. If someone is going to medically transition, if someone is going to take hormones, if someone is going to have surgery, who they are now going to be intimate with. These types of questions are, quite frankly, none of your business. It is their choice how they transition, and it is private unless they choose to share it. People do not suddenly have the right to ask these types of questions out of their own curiosity simply because someone has shared that they are trans. The person in front of you is real. When they transition, they do not become any less real. In fact, the opposite. Some have the audacity to say that those who transition are not a real man or a real woman, and that is hogwash. Individuals who are brave enough to come out as trans and live as their true self, despite having been hidden away for countless years, are as real as the warm spring sun touching your face after a very long cold winter. So welcome them, accept them, thank them, and if it's okay with them, hug them also. I'm really grateful for these words, and the only thing I would add for those who are new to the subject is that gender is often explained as coming in four categories. And there are excellent illustrations to show this. There's sex, which is about your physical anatomy. There's identity, which is about how you think of yourself. There's attraction, the people you are attracted to. And then there's expression, how you dress, your mannerisms, how you present yourself. These are four facets of gender that are important when we talk about transgender. And now, where are we coming from as St. John's? First of all, I want to be cautious about we language. I think we should be careful when we say we are speaking for everyone, because sometimes we're not, and it becomes the language of domination. And so I want to say that I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for all of St. John's. And for those of you who know me, you know that sometimes I am not speaking for you when I say what I say. I'm not speaking for all Anglicans, and we know that some differ from how many of us think. And I'm not speaking for all Christians, and we also know that many Christians and many who profess to be Christian hold very different views from us. In this case, I want to recall the humility of Jesus, who in his parable talks about the wedding banquet at which it's important to take the lower seat rather than the one at the banquet table. And I think the church has in the past taken the high seat at the banquet on sexuality, and we as a church should take the lower seat. That's what I think. So I also try to speak from within the spectrum of who we are as a community at St. John's. And so let me say more about my understanding of who we are at St. John's. St. John's has a long history of being welcoming and inclusive. It goes back into the 80s and even the 70s that St. John's was welcoming of people who were gay and lesbian. St. John's was an early leader in supporting the AIDS ministry in Ottawa. And St. John's today is supportive and actively welcomes people of all gender expressions. We have resources in our texts for which I want to reassure you. You've heard many of the proof texts that were against this position of active welcome. And so I want to share some texts that would be cause for hope for you. In the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus." And that we are all one does not mean we're all the same. It means that we all belong. We are all intended to be there. But I would add there that you are more than male if you are a man. And you are more than female if you are a woman. We are more than how we identify sexually. And so it is that more that we should be focusing on. In fact, I heard when I was at Chautauqua, there was a drag queen who did a presentation with an easel in the format that I'm now doing, who said that in fact, there are 8 billion expressions of gender. The acronyms you see in front of us reduce it to very few, even though they look like a lot of letters to you. There are 8 billion different expressions of gender because we are all different. So that's Paul's letter to the Galatians. We all are one in Christ Jesus. Also in the New Testament, there is reference to eunuchs. And eunuchs are like the intersex of the letter, but people who had their physical anatomy altered according to the norms of the time. But there was no judgment about their being included and welcomed and belonging. Now, to go back to the Hebrew texts of the scripture, I want to go back to Genesis, to Jacob and Esau. Now, we know the stereotype that Esau was a hairy man with muscles, and Jacob was smooth-talking and smooth-skinned. It's almost as if the writer knows that the language of masculinity and femininity needs to be out there for us to discuss it. But it gets even more interesting when we come to Jacob's son Joseph. He gave Joseph a coat of many colors, as we know well from the musical, but the Hebrew word for that coat is actually the word for a gown that a virgin, a woman who is a virgin, would wear. It's as if Joseph was given by his father a coat that was drag before we had that word. So consider that our scripture texts are like a puzzle with a whole bunch of different kinds of pieces. And in it, there are pieces that are wonderfully supportive of this inclusive vision of who we are at St. John's. None of these are exact historical parallels. None of them speak exactly of how we are speaking with these letters that you see before us. But the scriptures, as interlocking pieces of puzzles, help us with analogies and parallels. They help us to speak of what we care about today. Transgender has been very much in people's minds over the past year. In June, there was an article in the New York Times that talked about record numbers of young people identifying as transgender. And they're doing so because of the spirit of acceptance that has grown up in families so that young people now feel safe to make this self-identification, unlike the person whose testimony tells us what a hard journey that is for people who are older. There are many negative views that are part of this controversy, for example, about political posturing about who can use particular bathrooms, controversy about J.K. Rowling, the beloved author of Harry Potter, who has since spoken publicly from an anti-transgender perspective. And people will have many opinions about pronouns and also about the age at which it's appropriate for children to go through any kind of gender reassignment surgery. These are all kinds of things that we could talk about at length, but I want to come back to that word humility about taking the lower seat at the table. I'm not the expert as a family counselor or as a sexual therapist, and I know that when people come to see me for pastoral support, that parents and families and individuals who are considering their transgender life will have chosen their experts who support them. They will have their professionals in their life. And my role as a pastor is to support them. It's also to be patient with the conversations that are not yet resolved, such as whether we have one letter to refer as a blanket umbrella word to all these different expressions. I want to be patient with that conversation, which may take a generation to fully happen. And finally, I want to come back to our vision of St. John's as an inclusive church. And to me, an inclusive church is a safe church. It's a safe space. And we do not arrive there alone. In fact, if we go on our denomination's website, the Anglican Church of Canada has actually developed liturgies for this. There is a section, Liturgical Texts for Trial, Use, and Evaluation, which includes Liturgies for Journeys of Gender Transition and Affirmation. There's some beautiful material in this document. For example, it asks at the opening of the service, "Today we ask God's blessing for this process of transition for N." And to make it easier, I'm going to use N as Douglas in the original name and Diane as the new identity so that we can actually picture it. "Today we ask God's blessing for this process of transition for Douglas." And it continues with actual responses about the name change. What is your name? "My name is Douglas. How do you identify?" "I am Diane." It moves to a scripture reference, and this one comes from Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. "Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give you a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. And from there we go into, what is your name? That service concludes with a beautiful blessing. It goes like this. O God, in renaming your servants, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Peter, and Paul, you gave them new lives and new tasks, new love and new hope. We now hold before you our friend, Diane. Bless Diane with a new measure of grace as they take this new name. Hold Diane in your heart, written on your palm, and pour your blessing on all who here witness this celebration of life renewed. We who pray this in your name ask that we may be worthy to call ourselves Christian, for the sake of your Christ, whose name is love, and in whom, with you and the Spirit, we pray. Amen. So we are not alone at St. John's. We have the strength of our Anglican Church of Canada denomination in readiness to move to these new ways of thinking. But our vision of St. John's, a safe church, a safe space, to me, that is about three things. One, be there with the ones who struggle. Two, be humble and learn. Three, lead with love. May we lead with love today in this Pride service for all of our community. Amen. As we always do, we concluded this service with a blessing. And this weekend, I attended the Pride Shabbat, sponsored by the Reform and Conservative Synagogues and many Jewish organizations in Ottawa. A beautiful thing about Jewish liturgy, there are two things actually that are amazing about Jewish liturgy. The first is that at the end of each service, there's what's called a Kaddish. That is a remembrance of those who have gone before us, those who have died. And the second is, Jewish participants are constantly writing new poetry that gets incorporated into their liturgy. And so this is a Kaddish that is a new piece of poetry written especially by David Yadid in 2019. The Mishkan Gava. And so this is our concluding blessing, to which I will add a concluding blessing at the end. You who fought to love, you who prayed to the same God I do, you who insisted on your dignity even when the world said you had none, you who died of AIDS as you were fighting for a cure, so that people like me might live. You who were shot in a massacre while on the dance floor. You who could not come out and held your secret until your dying day. You who were insulted, shamed, beaten, and brutalized, yet kept walking. You who contributed your fierceness, your originality, your art, your voice to this world. I walk in your memory. I walk this path, smoothed and chartered by your sacrifice, toward justice, toward holiness, toward freedom. May we walk in this way, and may the blessings of the Creator be upon us and those who have gone before us, today and always. Amen.